Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big shiz that's gone on in Mac, as usual. Not there's been much this week, but we're going to have a bit of nostalgia as well crept in, and we're going to have to also catch up on the saga of James's laptop. Top left, it's Will Green. How the bloody
hell are you, James?
Mate, you've got something stuck to your face, boy.
I know, I've got a beard. It's good, isn't it?
What on earth brought that on?
It was Jim's wife who suggested it, and so I went with it.
I thought you mentioned you painted it on.
Yeah, so now it is. And a very dear friend of theirs said, actually, it looks pretty good, and you want to keep it. It makes you look younger, and pretty much like a guard. Those weren't exactly her words.
So you discarded the boots the first week, and then you had a haircut the second week, and now you've got a beard.
Yep.
And moved to Egypt.
Well, there is that as well, yeah. He's in a Sudan safe house.
What do you think, Ian? Would you like it or not?
Well, I wouldn't kiss you, but yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Is that all I get? It's fine.
Well, you know, you've got to admit that beards don't do it for me.
I'm happy with it. And when I get back to England, I think I will get a beard trimmer or something. Because they do get a little bit irritating, don't they?
Okay.
Can someone send Will a lamp, too?
Well, he has got lighting, apparently. He moved from a room to get lighting. That is the lighting he's got.
Well, I've got... Yeah, hold on. Wait just a moment. I've got a real fire behind me. Awesome. I've got a bulb at the top of the ceiling.
Downlighting.
Awesome.
Downlighting is the creative phrase, love.
Okay. A bulb is my phrase.
Okay.
And that is really about it. Really.
I'm just shocked Ewan can see his beard.
Yeah, but look at it. Look at that. It's not really close.
Well, a good lick and it would come off still at the moment. You've got a few more days to go yet.
Okay.
It's a hell of a November so far. Next to him, it's Adam. How you doing, bud?
Good when I wake up.
I'm sorry, man. Have we disturbed your day? Were you planning on coming? And we've...
I know you had texted me and I knew I was supposed to, and I just forgot to set an alarm. And I had a lot of food yesterday, so I didn't wake up. Normally I'm up by this time, but I think the turkey and all that fun stuff is just sitting with me.
Bad turkey overload.
Oh, not bad.
No, good turkey good overload. Well, bad on the overload bit though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well,
did you drink
too? Yeah, I kind of have the day off. Today's going to be a light day. I am doing a little bit of work, but. Yeah, good so man. I was not in work mode.
Did you have a hangover? Have you drunk too much?
No, I didn't do too much drinking. Oh. I like my in-laws a lot. They're cool people.
Good. Okay. So happy, high on the happy vibe. Beneath yep. him, it's a man who's probably on a bridging day. Patrice. At least his Phoenix offices. Not.
I'm not in the US. So I'm not on a bridging day.
Tired
Even though I'm German,
week.
So...
Tired at the end of the week, pal?
Yeah, a little bit. Stressful time, but it's almost Christmas, so the usual run towards the end of the year.
Cool. Enjoy. And last but by no means least, the man that we cannot wait to catch up on, James Rickards in France with Will, with a laptop, I gather.
Bonsoir, everybody. I do have... a laptop repaired by the French. They can do it. It just takes 15 days.
15 days, man.
It's been the hardest 15 days of my life. Oh, I'm honest with you. My poor wife, who's in the room with me now, has suffered horribly.
So horribly. You have. Was this Apple England saying you've got to get Apple France to repair it, or have you been trying to get it repaired in France in Pidgin English, and this is the best you could do?
I've been speaking to an English advisor the whole time. So I've been talking to AppleCare UK, and obviously now I'm about in France at the moment. So it was a case of you've got to use our French friends to fix it for you. So it was just there a long time. And the basic crux of it is they've repaired the top case, which basically means it's kind of new speaker, new battery, new keyboard, new touchpad. The touch bar will also be new. The touch ID button, that'll be taken over from the old one to the new one. So yeah, it's lovely because you put your hands down and you rest on it. It's got that nice porous new feeling, which is quite nice. Mm. So I'm happy to repair. It came back. It had been cleaned top to bottom. It was really good. Actually,
none of it was old.
I just think I was so happy.
How dirty does your computer get?
It felt new. Yeah, well, none of it was old. I mean, it's...
What's it's a year old.
What have they kept the same? Old. The rubber feet.
Yeah, the bottom side, basically. That was it.
The bottom piece of metal. So
it's the whole new top case, which obviously, encompasses the battery and lots of other bits. Fingers crossed, it's all working. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I've got some major work to do this week. I've kind of just played with it, testing speakers and obviously AirPods and things like that. So I'm just glad to have it back. I've been Mac-less for 15 days. I mean, you know, my phone's been my best friend.
So has it glitched or anything? Have you had a kernel panic or...?
No. But again, I think I've still got to do lots
of... Don't jinx it.
No, he hasn't had it yet. That's a statement of fact. Now, just feeding back as well, James, because you've been talking about your AirPods only managing sort of 40 minutes during the show, and then you have to recharge one then the other. We've had a couple of people have written in saying that that's not right. And I actually bench tested my AirPods last week for you while I was sat in the car freezing at a job in Paddington. And I watched around 2.5 hours of Netflix, and I had 66% left.
Wow. So
I think there's...
We've been talking before the show, obviously, before we started recording. So I've been on the show now for 37 minutes. They've been charging all night, and I'm looking at the battery level. It says left battery level is 60%, right battery level is 56%. Mm. I mean... I don't know whether you can. Can you reset an AirPod?
I don't know, but so. I know the. I've noticed the talk time. If I'm using them for phone calls, like during the day for work, I do see that does seem to drain the battery quicker.
A little bit more, maybe.
So I don't know if it's the microphones that are pulling more juice. Because, I mean, when I'm just using them for watching films, like you're saying, Ewan, I get a good 5-6 hours before I need to charge them.
Yeah.
For sure. But if I've been talking like an hour or 2 hours on the phone that day, they'll need a charge, you know, when I get into the bedroom at night to watch
but like
movies
an
stuff.
Hour, 2 hours, you'd expect a reduction a factor of 50% maybe on top of that. So, you know, I can watch 5 hours, but if I do speech, et cetera, I can only expect 2 to 2.5. But
that's about right.
The point is getting 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I think you've got it about right, actually. I only use these at the moment. Obviously, when I talk to you guys, I'm not using my day-to-day basis at the moment. So, it looks like I am going to get about 40 to 50 minutes. So what I'll do is I'll take one out, quickly charge it, and then I can carry on. For 2 hours
after this show.
Yeah, but you should be getting about two. Yeah, you're getting about half of probably what you should be.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'd watch a movie. That's another acid test then. Because if you can watch a movie and you're only getting an hour and a half out of it, then there's a fault there, definitely, because we're getting 45 hours comfortably.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, I'll contact my friend in the store and see how they test an AirPod to see whether that's actually going to work. Because it'd be interesting to see how Apple can actually fault find with an AirPod, because when I left Apple this time last year, there was no kind of test for them, really.
Yeah, I mean, deep pants.
Or they just replace them and say, okay, if the customer complains about them, just replace them.
Which is possible, isn't it? Consumer law and all that.
Patrice has put in the chat room, based on my limited experience with Frenchmen, everything takes a bit longer.
Yep.
We're going to cut you slack because that's your second language, mate. However, if you were English, there would be severe piss taking right now. Deepad says, aren't the mics noise cancelling in AirPods, so would that eat a little bit more power?
I don't think they are noise cancelling, are they?
I don't know about that I think regardless of whether they are noise cancelling or not, there's definitely something wrong on the figures that we're all talking about. Compared to you.
Yeah.
I don't I don't think they are noise canceling, but I think they're beamforming, right? So there's beamforming. Some, I mean, they're active. There's not a passive, it's not a passive thing that's happening with the mics.
No, but we'll see. So James, do a bench test on a movie and report back next week, eh?
Will do. Thank you so much.
The news, what's been going on? Two major city hosts have been shut down as the jailbreaking fades, apparently. Zod TDD and Mac City are also were shut down last week, meaning two of the three Cydia jailbreakers are now done. And there was a big question in that for me. The story's not really much of a story, but there was two things. Number one was they showed a version of hacked iOS 6, and I looked at it and I thought, I'm sorry, but for me that looks better than the shit we've got on the phone at the moment. Am I right? There you go, look. I actually quite...
Oh, look at that.
See, does that bring back some memories or what?
Yes, look at that.
Now, I like that look. I like that look so much better. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that we've lived with this design, with the icons the way they are and all that sort of stuff for quite a time now. Obviously, we had the whole flat scheme of it gone and we've gone to flat. And it just feels like, I'm not sure how they would make your apps appear on the page, but I look at some of the Android stuff and it just looks even worse. I think we are better off with the iPhone and the way it does lay things out, but when I look at the Android stuff, and it just looks even it worse. So I'm not sure how we can improve, but I'd love to see some people come up with some good designs.
No, I just really like that was kind of like a cool period, if you like, then, I suppose, for me, in terms of owning an iPhone. And you know, that's when I really enjoyed having the fact I had an iPhone and nothing else. And it's gone now. It's because it's not coming back. It'd be really cool if Apple did a thing where you could change the look of your hardware. So you could go, I really want to go retro and go back to the original icons from the first phone. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, they really haven't done that since the iOS or the Mac OS 8 days or whatever, you know, when we used to be able to customize things. But that's never been Apple's...
No.
I tell you what I miss. I miss the old, remember the podcasting app with the skeuomorphic thing with, it was a sort of a tape deck and all that. Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah, you used to have a stitched leather as well on the, on GarageBand.
Yes.
The podcast app. Mm-hmm. I am getting so many complaints about the Apple's, I mean, not that anybody had any love for the podcast app before iOS 11, but wow, do people really hate it now?
Yeah. It's absolutely awful, isn't it? And I suppose in some ways that's why I'm sort of arcing back to the one with the tape deck, because at least you knew how it worked. But the current iOS version is just awful, isn't it?
I think there's a general thing as well with in terms of general menu design across IT, full stop, across all of the applications that are out there. There's a certain, you know, there's a thing in ergonomics, which is things should work as people expect, T-swipe. And it's kind of like the intuitive elements of menus and interactions with forms. I think, you know, like... mail applications now, the way they mail stores the mail, it's like, I know I've got this mail. I just want this separate mail. I don't want the chain of the mails all together where I can't find the separate mail that I want. I just want all my emails separate, please. I can find them that way. And there's a bit of dinosaur in there. I'll go with that. That's all right. I'll take that criticism. But there's also a bit of, why do I want the chain when actually, or why can't I find an individual email sometimes? Because it's embedded in a chain and deep down in a chain of 20 exchanges with 10 people. And it doesn't feel like it's a better thing.
And the chain gets messed up as well, doesn't it? Because quite often if I look at a chain of emails, I'll send the same email two or three times at sort of random places in the conversation, as it were. Rubbish.
The dilemma I have is I don't know. It feels like what they're trying to do and what we've been trying to do for so long is make computers friendly for non-computer people. And we've taken these thoughts and ideas and we're taking them really far to the extreme. And so then what happens is guys like us who or even people who just casually know how to use a computer, it's gotten dumbed down so much, or they've made so much assumptions and tried to build in so much quote unquote intelligence or artificial intelligence that, you know, the assumption starts to feel like we're just too stupid to understand, you know, how to manage three email accounts or something like that. So we gotta handle that for people, because boy, they can't handle that. And I think that's where we're ending up with, you know, my biggest complaint over the last few years has been the whole idea of hidden interfaces. Like they're hiding everything from you because, well, you're too stupid to understand that feature. So we want to hide it so only, you know, people who really know stuff can actually find and use that. And it's gone so far that they've tried to clean it up and make it so simple that it's almost too much. You know, it's like, I don't know where anything is anymore. I don't know how to do anything because it's buried 10 levels deep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I mean, as someone who's working in software development, this was for a long time a trend. Basically, assuming that the user that you have in front of your application is the stupidest person that you can imagine, and then trying to come up with an interface that even he or she can still use, which in reality, as we have learned, is, getting rarer and rarer, because most people nowadays know how, they know how apps work. They know how software works. I mean, they're using Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of the others so much. And I mean, the coming generations, they're growing up. I mean, even I have grown up with software. Yes, I am an IT guy. But even, my friends my age, not IT guys, they've, All of us, we've grown up with software, so we know how it works. And the stupid UI that a lot of apps try to push on us simply doesn't cut it, because we know better. And I think that's really the problem. But, I mean,
is it really? Because I mean, I think one of the things that strikes me is the fact that you say that we're making applications for people who are stupid. But the problem is, in the way that I'm trying to get my way through applications I'm familiar with now, I feel stupid. And it's, to some degree, maybe it's being a dinosaur, I'll take it. But there is also the element of the fact that the app has now been designed by some kid at a university who's a dyslexic ADHD sufferer. And it makes no sense to me because, I'm dyslexic. You know, Will, do bear in mind, every time you move, it deafens me, eh?
sorry, I didn't mean to. I was getting away from the fire. I'm going to explode soon. You know the combustion thing?
Just move. It's simple, right? When you're too hot, you're too close. If you're too cold, you're too far away.
The thing is, my charger won't go any further.
That's in page one of the manual for fires. Even the Egyptians had a tablet that said, if you're too hot, you're too close.
But if I push my little MacBook Air any further away, it'll run out of cable right up to the end.
Go to the side of the fire, maybe? Or the other?
I don't think that'll help. I tell you what, if I die of spontaneous combustion, I think I'll be the first time on any podcast ever.
Well, we'll have a first at least.
We need, Will and I need to have a separate conversation outside this podcast about spontaneous combustion, because that's how I'm going.
Is it?
Hang on a second. Because if you're planning to go that way, it's hardly spontaneous, is it?
Yeah, true.
You need to eat lots and lots of fatty pork, apparently, and smoke. Smoke your ass off and eat lots of fatty pork.
How did Adam die? Planned combustion. I thought he wanted to go via spontaneous. Yeah, he did, but it just didn't work out, did it? Because he knew it was happening.
Voluntary combustion. I think that's a great idea. Adam, what is your ideas behind this?
Oh man!
Again, we got to take it offline because it'll go forever.
Go on, no, just a sort of 10-second segment of why.
Go on. Beats the parents thing last week.
I've always just believed in it. I believe that it can happen. I think just it's like a computer short out from the inside out, right? All your electrical system just fires off at the same time and boop, you're gone.
Which we need to change your icon for your podcast to just a pair of boots with yeah, maybe some stumps of leg
coming up. Yeah, there we go. Just a couple of wisps.
I think it's great. I love the whole idea. I think it's possible.
That's lovely.
So, but that,
I love you, Adam. That's brilliant.
Hang on, though, Adam. Does that depend on spontaneous combustion being something which is fairly swift? Or are you quite happy to watch your body consume itself in fire? No,
I think it's swift. I think it's like a circuit popping or whatever. Like just imagine every electron in your being, your entire electrical system just shorts out all at once, like pop, smoke, gone. Love it.
Right. Okay.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome. Well, no, because you'd only get to do it once, wouldn't you?
Well, but we're all going to go sometime.
You better make sure it's the last item on your bucket list.
We're all sitting here dying right now, right?
You really want to think about it?
Very slowly, yes.
A bit deep in it. He's drunk too much. Sorry.
Well, what are we talking about again?
Design. How
the design, UI, remotes. Hidden interfaces.
James, you wanted to know about the iMac Pro. The iMac Pro is coming allegedly next month. Starting prices, wait for it, 5Gs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot, isn't it?
Top end price in excess of 20, potentially.
20,000 pounds?
They're going to get hot, aren't they?
What on earth?
Are they're going to get...
That's you think like, in excess of 20?
In excess of 20.
When it's all said and done?
17 to 24 was the estimates I saw.
Yeah.
If you max it out, 17 to 24. I mean, if you max out a current iMac, a Mac Pro rather, it still comes out at
5,400 or something like that, right?
Yeah, no. If you max out the current ones, they're over 15 grand or 12 grand.
Oh, a Mac Pro, sorry.
Yeah, a Mac Pro.
Yeah. I was thinking of a current iMac.
Yeah, I mean, with the RAM and everything, sounds about right.
So, and it's only got 4 Thunderbolt 3 ports. You can't change the RAM yourself. Can't change that drive.
Can't you?
I thought you could on the Pro. Yeah, I thought it was like the 20. Is it the 27 inch that you can put your own RAM in?
Yeah. I mean, why? So what? Apple have decided that we need Watson effectively. I mean, it just feels. Why? Who's going to buy that? Well, loads of people are going to buy it.
A lot of people.
Yeah, there's going to be some people out there who are going to who really don't understand what spec they need for video editing at 4K, and it's going to be like, yeah, I do need it. But
it does depend on, I think, what you're doing too. I mean, again, it's a pro machine implies that this is a machine for someone who is doing this as a business, right? And there is a certain advantage of time that happens with this kind of hardware, right? You are going to save in certain applications, like you're saying, for certain kinds of video editing, you're going to save rendering time. You're going to save, there are cost savings that can justify the costs. I think the problem is it breaks down, like you're saying, when you have a hobbyist or someone who feels like they really need this thing and they're really just throwing money after something that's probably just because they want it. But I'm also of the mind that, like, hey, if you're that successful and you have that kind of money to spend and you want to spend it and it makes you happy, then more power to you. But, and Apple should fully benefit from the fact that there are people out there like that, too. So, hey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've just put in the chat room, it's the same thing. The job has to justify the price, isn't it? Mm. You know, if you're getting paid to render out... segments for TV, 5-minute segments for TV. You need a big computer to do that. That's it. And obviously that means hopefully that job will pay well enough. Like your first job should pay for the computer, really.
Mm-hmm. But don't make the mistake that there's going to be people who are going to buy this just because they want Space Gray.
Yep. I really like the point that I think Adam made in the last MacCast that basically you could also... If you're doing rendering, you could also just buy two standard iMacs and, right. I mean, run the render job on two machines instead of one.
Yeah, you could use Team Raider, Team Render, on Cinema 4D uses Team Render, so yeah.
Magic Man in the chat room says BBC will be buying 24 for the newsroom, and he's not wrong probably there, because having worked at the BBC, they are not short of spending money, thanks to the unique way in which they're funded.
The one thing I would say about the Space Cree thing is Jim told me about it, that if you get a Space Cree laptop from Apple, it chips really easily. So will the iMac chip really easily back to the aluminium or not?
Why does it chip then, Jim?
Yeah, so when people come to the Apple store with their MacBooks, and of course we had them on display for people to use when they first came out, I was interested to see how they wear and tear, because obviously people going to an Apple store don't really tend to look after what they're looking at. They'll throw it about, pick it up, whatever. Oh, yeah. And within a few days, the actual size, and there was where the ports go and things like that, it was just all like back to the aluminium scratches with inside of it. So it is I believe it is a spray that they put onto the aluminium. After a period of time, they will actually scratch back to aluminium.
It looks like a Teflon-y type coating, doesn't it? Where it's glue, metal, glue, metal, glue, metal, yeah.
It's not anodized, huh?
No.
Yeah, isn't that I'm trying to remember the word for it. It's some kind of process that basically applies the color. I mean, what they did also on the iPhones, for example. It's basically a thin layer on top of, it's not sprayed, it's some electric process, I think, or something. Something
well, that like would be anodization.
Exactly.
The Apple Watch had it. Do you remember the Apple Watch that was available when the first edition came out in black and in silver? It was about 550 quid for the black strap. I actually had that one. I had the top of the range black one. And within 2 months, the links were turning back to silver. Because obviously just scuffing.
That's not good.
Good point. Deep plan here, talking about the fact you've got developers now doing an awful lot of VR rendering potentially as well, which could be a good...
One thing to that, the VR demo that Apple did back in June, that was actually done on the standard, what they released then, iMacs. It wasn't the iMac Pro.
They released that after the fact.
On Will's question about the iMac, I think the scratching and metal thing would also be less of an issue, obviously, with the desktop. It's not being like tossed around and thrown around in bags and things like that. And you're probably not, like to James's point, you're probably not plugging and unplugging things as frequently with a desktop model.
Especially since the ports are in the back.
it was one reason that when I bought the 15-inch MacBook Pro with Touch Bar last year, that I chose a silver one for that very reason. So I wanted to always remain as new to look at.
Well, it'd be interesting. I mean, I just think it's a lot of money for a basic machine. But the point there about VR rendering has made me think twice about slagging it off or just being flippant. So,
well, and it's not basic, right? It's the first one with the new ATI,
base
the ATI card, the new GPUs, and it's got. I mean, you can get 18 cores in it in the dang thing if you want.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to put myself on mute.
Why?
Before I explode.
Yeah, do move, mate. That's fine. You're starting to get rosy cheeks, so we don't want to see you.
It's madness. And, I know you want me to sort of spontaneously converse, but no, I'm not doing it.
We suggested that you move.
I'm going to. Right. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, mate. Thank you.
It's a shame to listen to the podcast in the car.
The whole time I thought he was behind some green screen thing. He was actually really in front of a fireplace.
Oh, yeah. He was actually.
The lighting was so bad, I thought it was, like, faked.
No. You can't fake bad lighting.
The background. The background looked really flat. It didn't look.
All he's done is shuffle forward 6 inches.
Well, I'm here now. I'm sorry to let you down, Adam. It reminds me of the IT Crowd with I shouldn't go there, should I? Have a look at Moss and the Germans, but I'm not going to go there.
Yes,
pussy. Right.
Oh, we'll go there if you want me to.
No, don't leave.
We'll shy away for it.
No, leave it alone. iPhone SE 2 is coming in 2018, allegedly. I don't know what form it's going to take. There's no form factor or anything like that. But are we talking about it being looking like the 5 still? Or are we talking about it being updated to something that looks like the 6 or the 7? Because the 6 or the 7 looks like the 8, pretty much. So, I don't know.
I'm guessing they will keep the form factor. I mean, they did it last time. They had plenty of chances to update it. They didn't. So, I mean, why would they change it? I think this is a phone for the most part for people who, are a little bit behind on things. Let's put it this way.
Well, the thing is, you've got to remember, I mean, you know, again, being in a store and seeing customers come through the door, not everybody's like us. So you will have women come in and pick up a phone and go, oh, that's a bit big. Oh, this is the right size. They won't know the specifications. They won't know, you know, what process is in it or whether they'll just go, this one fits. You know, it's that simple to certain members of the public.
Yeah. And I mean, the specs of the SE weren't bad, right? If I remember correctly, it was the 6 internals.
It was.
Yeah, so it wasn't bad hardware.
It sold so well. You wouldn't believe the iPhone 5 SE sold so well. And I think even Apple was surprised at how well they did with it.
This is kind of like, I think the SE is a really good example of the base level of entry, if you like, into the Apple ecosphere. So it was interesting. It was notable today. I know the Mac Mummy, Melissa, tweeted out that, you know, what's wrong with this picture? And she put 3 up and she pencil drawn a Mac Mini in it, saying, you've forgotten the Mac Mini. And the Mac Mini, I think, is a crucial machine. I would be disappointed to see that disappear from the Apple lineup. And is the SE the same kind of thing? Is it a crucial machine that should not disappear from the lineup?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was quick.
I think this is, you're not going to get any disagreement in here because like James said, it's a big seller for Apple. And I have to tell you, every Thanksgiving, we go on a walk with a bunch of families in the morning. It's like our new tradition. And a lot of people have SEs. I mean, I see them all over the place. I don't know how it is over there, but I mean, here it is. It is the majority of iPhones that I see almost, it feels like, or at least 50% are SEs.
Patrice, you have a point?
I know a couple of people who, I mean, got the 6, tried it, didn't like it, gave it back and bought a SE the minute it came out because they wanted to have the smaller size. It wasn't about money, it was about the size. Mm-hmm. For them, the size mattered.
All that size.
Yeah, I think you know that the cheaper input. I know it's not cheap either, particularly. So, it's not a cheap phone, which should be a little bit cheaper.
Relatively, you know, you're in the $300-$400 range instead of the $1,000 range. So,
yeah, I mean, if anything happens at the moment, the way I feel about the 10 and the 8 is, if anything happened to my 7 and I absolutely just had to get another phone, I'd probably walk in and buy an SE because I'm not that bothered.
Yeah.
Massive performance.
Yeah.
So there. Apple have bought augmented reality firm, and I'm going to make sure I pronounce this right, Vervana, a company that developed the augmented reality headset called Totem. Are Apple going down a Google Glass kind of thing? Is there going to be a face fit kind of 3D experience, or is this... Because it wouldn't. Why buy these people if you're not going to go to an experience which is like that? I don't know.
I mean,
talent, engineering, and IP is why they're buying these companies. It's not necessarily to make a headset. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're not exploring that. We know that they're exploring that.
I'm pretty sure they are.
VR and AR, but as far as what they're going to actually produce or if they will produce anything. I think that's still really up in the air, and I think that's still really up in the air for Apple. I think you know, they're looking at the market and trying to figure out, you know, where is the consumer benefit, where is the thing, and it could end up being something purely commercial, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, there are also other options. I mean, one, they can simply improve the AR that they have in the current phones, and maybe in the future in iPads. And then, I mean, there is the car project, and right now, rumor has it, it's software only. But I can totally see, for example, AR in, I don't know, the windscreen or something. So there are, I think there are plenty of possibilities aside from just the headset. And I'm, as I said, I'm pretty sure Apple is looking into headsets. They are trying it simply to see, is there a product? Is there something that we can do, or is it just crap?
Yeah, so the next question in my mind is going to be then, what is the transferable skill from a headset firm to what Apple currently have or currently logically looking at if it's not a headset?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to keep in mind Apple's not looking at the next 3 to 5 years. They're looking at the next 10 to 20.
Yeah.
I find the whole concept of AR so boring, though, don't you? Or is it just me?
Why do you find it boring then, Will?
Well, so if I'm walking around, I have to look at my phone or I've got a pair of glasses on and stuff like that. What more information do I need than if you're walking in the countryside and you can see a beautiful tree or a flower or something like that? And if you're going to a shopping center and you need to go to a particular shop, well, you'll know where the shop is. You just say to somebody at the information desk, can you tell me where the shop is, and just go there. So I cannot understand what the advantage is of this sort of virtual reality.
Let's give you a practical application where I've actually done something. I wanted to know how long some pipe was at a job a couple of weeks ago. So I pulled out my phone and using the AR measure kit, I measured the pipes to know how long they were so that I could count them to know how long the run was on the pipe work. So there you go. Straightforward, practical application straight away. I will grant you that a lot of the games that are in there that are AR-based are just shit, gimmicky type stuff that don't mean anything. They're just cool. I like the IKEA app, and the IKEA app works really, really well. And the sizing on it is very, very good. It falls flat on its face when you do desks. I've tried doing desks this week, and it doesn't work. But if you want to take a cabinet and put it in your room and throw it up against the wall and see what it looks like, it's unreal. It is really unreal. It's uncannily good.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of augmented reality is really about augmented intelligence, right? It's augmented where you're augmenting your knowledge base. And when that is done really well, it becomes a powerful thing. So, Will, your example of, you know, you're out for a walk and you see some plants or trees, you can grab a book, you can search Google, but wouldn't it be great if you can look at a flower and just ask, hey, what is that? And get the scientific name and information and stuff that you want right there in front of your eyes. And now suddenly you've learned something, you're smarter, but you haven't done a bunch of, you don't have to become a horticulturist.
But wouldn't that sort of distract from your experience of being out in that field and looking at that flower?
I love the night sky apps, astronomy apps,
right,
that help me identify stars and overlay where things are based on my GPS location and stuff. Like, it augments my knowledge.
It appears. Yeah,
or navigation, for example. I mean, this would be a case for the AR glasses. You walk around and basically on the street you see, okay, you have to turn right here or something like that. I mean, there are plenty of things that you could do with it.
It would appear that one of the new features in Skype designed to make it better is that it switched off the mic override stuff because you're all talking over the top of each other.
Oh, right.
Because you can't hear each other. So check your Skype installations and see if you've got the override mic thing off. Jesus. Skype, you're shit. You're so shit. It's unreal how shit you are. And you've forced updated three of my machines now. You've put this frigging little logo look in the top corner that I can't get rid of now. I don't know what that is. You bastards. I'm sorry. It's shit.
What's that? Yeah.
James is the only one that's on a non-updated machine. I need to go and find an old version of Skype and quickly reinstall it and block auto-updates because it's pissing me off immensely.
That's a shame because I thought people were listening to me.
Well, they were listening to you, Will.
Never.
So the point is that Adam was saying, well, you could ask your phone, take a picture, what is this? And it tells you and it gives you a whole thing on top of the picture of the plant that you're looking at. And I get that because a lot of people say to me, oh, I listen to your podcasts in the car. So the fact you've got no show notes makes it really hard to get the cool things, which is why we set up the chatbot, Anders set up the chatbot. And the chatbot gathers all the links and puts it into a program. And you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and scroll through what we've done on a show day and find what the link is. Mm-hmm. So I do get that. I think it's there is a value in that. And also as well, if you look at augmented reality for you in a foreign country, you could have an auto translation feature where you hold your phone up and look at a Japanese sign, but the picture that you've got in your phone actually has got it written in English, so you know where the toilet was, for example, or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, there are already apps that do that.
Well, there's been apps that do that for quite a long time. Yeah.
And they're getting better and better.
Getting back to this technology and why Apple's making all these acquisitions and this leap that a lot of people want to make that, oh, they're doing glasses or doing something like that. You know, I really think what a lot of this is about is Apple trying to figure out what's the next iteration of how we're going to use and interact with computers. You know, again, not 3 years from now, maybe not even 5 years from now. But I mean, for a lot of people, it is going to be your phone is your computer and the interface is something beyond typing on a keyboard or using a pointing device. Right. And so if you look at science fiction, whether that's these, you know, projected displays or glasses or voice interfaces or all of these things, it is for a lot of applications, not every application, because, you know, there's certain tasks where those other tools make more sense. But for a lot of interaction, the future, this is what the future of computing is. Right. It's you have an always on, always connected thing that is going to deliver you information in some way that's outside of a screen and a keyboard. And so it's really just Apple staffing up and getting the smartest people who are working on this R&D stuff into their company and getting that IP into their company so that they have a path for growth. And a lot of companies fail to do this. And that's why we see them fall over the years. And that's why Apple is still around and still remains relevant.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I disagree personally. I sort of agree and disagree. I think the whole AR thing is just a blip. It's like 3D cinema and all that business. It's just madness.
No, I think that's a valid comment, Will. I think that really is a valid comment that we don't know what's going to happen. But that whole point is what Adam's saying. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think it could be a blip. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a possibility. If we knew what the future would bring, then we probably would all be at least billionaires.
True.
I'm trying to remember the name of the company, but, you know, a lot of people don't know. I believe Apple has purchased or is involved with a company that is doing an AR heads-up display, like contact lens. Mm-hmm. And it even has kind of this cool technology where through your blinking, the motion of your blinking, it can actually partially recharge a battery built into the dang thing. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that they're messing with and looking at and going, is this something that can be applied? You know, so it may not be glasses. It may be a contact lens. And of course, not everybody can wear contact lenses and we can go down that whole road, but that's not the point. The point is that they're interested and they're looking at like every possible technology. And when they find something they think that could be relevant, they, and a lot of times buy those companies. And the reason is to get the talent and the intelligence of those people more so than any product that they may be immediately developing. Sometimes the product is relevant as well, but I would say majority of the time it's really about the knowledge of the people.
I'm just conscious of the fact we need to let Will finish because I cut across him there. I do apologize, Will.
Oh, sorry. Did I?
No. I cut across Will saying I agree with you, but go on. Might be just a blip.
That's quite right. Yes, I think it is a blip. I think it's one of those things that what I've been really surprised with is how well these home entertainment, home pods or what you want to call them, have taken off. I thought that was just a bit of a blip as well, but obviously we sort of proven wrong. But,
they still might be, to be honest.
Yeah,
they haven't been around so long that it might not just die off in a year or two.
Well, you think so?
It's still possible.
Well, let's go to Rob, who's our guru on home automation, Rob Lines, GB Redneck in the Slack room. And his view is that if you've got to talk to your house, it's not home automation. And he makes a valid point, is that your house should react to you the way that you live. You should be able to tell it once what it needs to do and then never tell it again. So the voice command stuff is should be irrelevant. So you might be right.
Yeah, basically only tell it when it's doing something that you don't want this way or whatever. Basically to tell, yeah, like you would tell your assistant.
Well, here's the problem is people thinking that voice assistants are about necessarily home automation. And again, the reason this isn't a blip, it's more of a stepping stone, is that this is the path to voice interfaces in general. And again, getting back to what I was talking about, the next generation of what happens when a mouse and keyboard goes away. And obviously the most probably natural way for humans to interact with anything, each other or even potentially machines, is going to be voice. I mean, it's how we have communicated since, you know, we could speak. So since we discovered language and things like that. So it's getting to that place of ubiquity, to that Star Trek place where you're just talking to. And again, there's a million challenges. This isn't going to happen anytime soon. But the popularity of voice interfaces and integrating it into quote unquote home automation is about that desire for that kind of interaction with our technology. And people seem to have it and they seem to respond very positively to it. And I think it's where we're heading, and that's what everybody's trying to figure out. And Apple is just the slowest, quote unquote, slowest about it, because they recognize exactly what you're saying, Will, that like, this is just weird. It's kind of it's fun and it's interesting, but where is the real application? Where is the ultimate benefit? How is this better than what we have now? And they're being cautious about it, and they're acquiring companies to help them kind of figure this stuff out and figure out where is the commercial application and how does this apply and how do you make it relevant?
I don't think they are being cautious, personally. Yeah. Old Tim Cook has got a bee in his bonnet over this, hasn't he? Yeah, he bangs on about it every single...
Yeah.
Is that just singing the hymn sheet, though? I mean...
I don't know. I think he's got real passion for it. I think he sees it as his sort of mark in Apple's history, almost.
Yeah, that's fair.
I agree with that.
I think it's trying to guess, next guess where technology is going to go. At the moment, there's nothing that we can kind of cling on to that's making us feel like, oh, that could be it. So I think it is a case of sometimes we're just playing with what's about and seeing how we can make it work. So I think it's quite valid that they're looking at it going, actually, this could actually work. I mean, remember the conversation Tim Cook said that he wears glasses because he has to wear glasses. I remember saying that quite clearly. He wears glasses because he has to wear glasses. Are we going to expect people who don't wear glasses to wear glasses? I don't think so. I don't think that's where the future is. But,
And even that might be, I mean, he might be wrong about that. Things might change and people all of a sudden might decide that we're all going to wear glasses because, I don't know, why not? Things can change.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, I think the home automation thing, though, is if you take the Star Trek analogy there that you just mentioned, Adam, you've got, if you think away about the crew aren't saying Star Trek open the door or computer open the door.
Correct.
The doors open automatically. Well, we're already at that stage with infrared stuff. But when they get in the turbo lift, the computer knows when they specify that if they speak, they just walk in and go bridge. And that's it. It knows that its only function is to go to the bridge or to go to deck 5 or to go to deck 10 or wherever. And then it knows to ignore everything that's said thereafter, including all the numbers or any speech that could say, well, we've actually got that on deck 12, and suddenly not disrupt the turbo lift and take it to deck 12. And that's where I think we've got a real problem with separating intent of the user. I
mean, absolutely.
We're terrible at the moment. The fact that I have to go, Gertrude, I want you to switch the lights on, is tough. And my parents, that's the one thing my parents really struggle is in remembering to say the trigger word. They can say, they know, they can remember the phrase that's correctly oriented and correctly syntaxed for the thing to happen, but they forget to say the trigger word all the time, and it throws them sort of rotten.
Well, yeah, again, so Ewan, I mean, let's take it further and see where the problems are. So every time I get in the car, 90% of the time or most of the time, I want to turn on and listen to a podcast, and there's a certain order of the podcasts that I usually listen to, and all of these things, my computer system could know. So why isn't it that I get in the car and Siri just doesn't say to me, hey, you want to listen to, you want to, you know, start listening to the podcast you were just listening to? Why isn't that happening? Well, I think that's where we're moving to. We're getting there. You know, same thing with, you know, every morning I come in and I open up certain applications. Why aren't I being asked to open up those? Hey, you want me to read back your emails to you from, you know, that came in overnight? Because I know every morning that's the first thing you do when you sit down at the computer is you check your email or you look at Twitter or whatever it might be. So yeah, absolutely. All of these things need to get smarter. And a lot of this is more, not so much about the voice is just an interface, right? The real thing that Apple is working on and a lot of this stuff is about the making computers smarter and more importantly, making them much more proactive in the things that they do for us. So understanding and knowing our behaviors and things like that and knowing, you know, like it should know that my mother's birthday is coming up and I always order flowers from the same place and it should just prompt me, hey, you know, your mom's birthday's coming up. You order from this place. You want me to give them a call for you and connect them and then you can put in your order? Absolutely. And I think that's where we are moving to. It's just computers are just becoming powerful enough where
and we I can think do those I mean there's a second component. I mean, as you said, we are moving towards that. And you see that in all the machine learning that Apple has been even putting into iOS for a couple of versions now, and it's getting more and more. I mean, all the app suggestions that you get and so on, that's just small potatoes. I mean, what the system really can do. But I think the other part to that is, I mean, what you don't want is a nanny that basically constantly asks you, hey, you usually do that. Do you want to do that? Hey, there's a birthday coming up. You don't want to have a nanny. So it's also about figuring out where the comfort level for people is. So what can we do and where does it get creepy? Because it can get creepy. I mean, we all know that.
It can get creepy, can't it? I mean, hey, Adam, have you been for a poo yet this morning when you've woken up? Have you? You know, that's how, you know, we all know the things we need to do in the morning, which, begins with going to the toilet and checking the news and putting a coffee on. But do we really need a reminder about those things, those basic things that we've been doing all our life?
Now, this is, I think this is really interesting as a conversation. It's probably nothing to do with an Apple show, but no, because the point is, right, so let's just do something really simple. I love the fact that I can go, Gertrude, turn on the studio radiators when I'm sat having breakfast with the kids in the morning. And when I get down here, the studio's warm-ish. It's at 13 degrees, which I can live with. But there's plenty of mornings where I've turned up outside and I've literally switched the car off and my first thought process is to pull out the phone to switch the alarm off. And then I've remembered I haven't switched the heating on and I'm going to be sat in a coat for the first half hour. And I do actually want the Gertrude to think to themselves, right, it's now 7:30 and Ewan hasn't asked for the studio radiators on. Therefore, I should go. Don't want to prompt you. I'm not nagging or anything. You know, I'm sorry, Ewan, but would you like me to put the studio radiators on? And we go, oh, thanks so much. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my Nest does, right?
No, it doesn't.
I have exactly the same.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't. It suggests you put your studio radiators on.
No, it learns over time what temperatures that you set when the outside temperature is certain degrees, and it automatically adjusts its pattern of when it turns on and off based on your usage. Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Because I only want my studio radiators on if I'm coming here for the day. And some days I don't come here. So I want her to go at breakfast.
So you're not on any kind of regular schedule.
No, you just show up. I want to go, okay, normally you would ask me to put them on. You haven't asked me this morning. Is that okay? And I go, yeah, that's fine. Thanks very much. And because I know I'm going somewhere else for the day or I'm not going to be in till midday or something like that. Or for me to then even better go, yeah, I'm not going to be at the studio till midday. Please turn them on at 11 o'clock, Gertrude. And that would be awesome. That would be properly good.
And I think getting there. That's my point. I think that's happening, Ewan. It's just probably not happening fast enough for maybe people, but I think there's a lot of challenges behind that because that's what Will is bringing up, right? Is there's a balance and you have to figure, and that's what Apple is always cautious about. It's like they could build a system that constantly nagged you about everything, but that would be incredibly irritating.
Yeah,
right?
No, there is a fine line there, yes.
Yeah.
I have the same issue as Adam, as you, and I mean, I like to preheat my car when I come back, especially now it's getting colder. And I mean, I can do that with an app, but in the morning it's easy because there I have a kind of regular schedule, but in the evening I never know when I will leave and I constantly forget it. I'm in front of my car and then I remember, oh shit, I forgot again. Every single day. I think I've maybe done it once or twice in 5 months. It's simply, that's the area where, I mean, I've thought about it. How can I do that? How can I automate that? How can I don't know, have a system that simply knows, okay, now I'm leaving the office. Okay, now you should do it.
So you need to tie a knot in your hanky, mate.
No, yeah, maybe that's the solution. I don't know.
No, do you remember that Nine app that I recommended? I mean, I use it regularly, and I take a picture of something, and it's got nothing to do with the thing I want to remember to do. Nothing at all. It's just when I take a picture of the coffee tin with the coffee in it, I happen to be thinking of that thing, and it's like tying a knot in your hanky. You know, the hanky isn't a trigger for absolutely anything. It's just an image that triggers off, oh, I was stood at the coffee machine and I remembered that I wanted to do the following. And it works. It really works. I love that Nine app. I use it so much. So you need a knot in your hanky, mate. You need to say, right, okay, how long do I need to warm the car up for? And what's my typical routine 30 minutes then before I leave work? Do I switch off my computer? Do I go and wash my coffee cup?
But as I said, that for me, the better solution would be if it just did it without me even thinking about it. No, I'm turning off my computer. Okay, he's ready to head home.
Deep Pan says, will it remind you if you're sitting too close to the fire?
I'm all right with that, no? Probably about 4 foot away, so I'm going to be okay, Deepa.
His next comment says, if Siri was intelligent, and I stopped reading there because there's no point.
I just need to bring up that Patrice just pointed out the exact problem that is the challenge of making a true intelligent assistant, which is computers are really good at recognizing patterns and seeing consistency in patterns and things like that. So Patrice, in your example where, I go to work about the same time every day or at the same time every day, and I take the same route and I do the same things, the assistant could learn that pattern and then could automatically, you know, I know that he's going to leave the house within this time range, about 30 minutes before that, I'm going to warm up the car. But then you pointed out the alternate fact is like, I never know when I'm going to leave. So the problem is when I leave, what is it going to do? Because there's no pattern. There's no thing for it to understand when you're going to, you know, decide to leave. And so in that scenario, it would have to do a different logic, right? It would have to say, well, he leaves within this 2-hour window. So 15 minutes before the start of that typical window, maybe I'll ask him, hey, are you ready to leave? And then it has to prompt you. So it has to prompt you at sometimes and not at other times. But I mean, that's the challenge. That's why they're not implementing something yet, because if you implemented the thing, you either have to ask all the time or you have to make assumptions that are incorrect, and it ends up being a horrific experience, right?
The problem you've got there, Adam, is because you're anchoring to time. You're not anchoring to activity, because the routine is based on activity. The routine is not based on time.
I'm not saying you're saying exactly what I'm saying is it's not just time. It's also activity. It's also pattern. It's also it's a million inputs that are variable.
It's not time. That's the whole point of what Patrice is saying. He says, I don't know what time I'm going to leave. So you can't use time as the anchor, and all the algorithms use time as an anchor. And that's wrong, because you should use routines as anchors. And that's the thing. There is something that Patrice does that his systems could pick up on that would be 30 minutes before he leaves work, or 15 minutes before he leaves work, or 10 minutes before he leaves work, whatever it would be. They need to find out what that anchor point is. But that's the key part, is the anchor is not time in a lot of cases of what humans do. The anchor is the variable.
Calendar
is a different kind of pattern. I mean, there's definitely a pattern what I do before I leave. I mean, what Ewan said, bring the cup to the kitchen, I don't know, shut down my mouth. Yeah, put the Mac in my bag or whatever, something like
but again, that. That level of intelligence is just not there. And the problem is what we're responding to right now is all the people who are trying to use time and getting it screwed up, right?
Yep.
So then you go, well, this technology sucks. It's, you know, intelligent assistants are just stupid because they're stupid.
But I would guarantee that in a two-hour window, if Patrice is in the kitchen with his coffee cup, that is the only time he ever goes in there, is to put it into the dishwasher to leave. So it's a unique experience on that. It would be an accurate anchor. You should be able to set your accurate anchors based on, right, if I'm in the break room between 4 and 4.30, it's because I'm getting ready to leave, so start warming my car for me.
How did you do that? Because the only way I could ever warm my car is you switch the engine on.
So electric cars and the applications, you can send a message to your car because it's got a 3G card in it that tells it to commit actions. So you can get it to warm up with it still being locked and secure. It doesn't run. It just starts the heater to get the inside warm and the screen cleared and that kind of stuff.
But it strikes me, it's all about calendar, isn't it? It's like everybody's calendar changes on a day-to-day basis.
Which is the problem with
Exactly.
You'll have your regular sort of Monday to Friday one, but sometimes it will change to a different schedule on a weekend, or maybe you're on a training course on a Wednesday or something like that. So there needs to be a central point of human communication that sort of ties it all together. It ties your car, which is connected to the internet, to your phone that is connected to the internet, even to the toaster, Internet of Things and stuff like that. But it does need a central human connection in order for it to function correctly. Would that be not right? No.
Yes.
No, it's 100% right.
Yeah.
And it's
it's kind of like a butler. I mean, what you were saying, it actually makes sense. So you would talk to your butler and would tell him, hey, tomorrow morning I'm leaving for a business trip, so I'm gonna be up at 5 instead of 6, whatever. You would tell that to your butler, and I think the same thing kind of has to be true for all the assistants. I mean, either they see your calendar and can just see it, or you have to tell them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to
both, really. It's all of those inputs. It's inputs from so many different sources. Your butler also just has an awareness, right, of the things you do and what you're doing. Like Ewan was saying, this is an example of, like, I know when he goes into the study to do whatever, he's going to be doing this task. And it can adapt itself for how it responds to any queries at that point, or whatever it might try to, whatever interaction you might try to have with it, it's going to adjust its behavior based on your behaviors. So that all has to happen as well. So it's just incredibly complex, it's just why assistants are, they're not even, they're in protozoa stage at this point.
Oh yeah. And I mean, it can be really frustrating when, you design an assistant that covers, let's say, 80% of all the cases. So the regular things that you do on a pattern, it can learn and all of that. But it totally fails when there's an exception. That can be really frustrating for you, because it doesn't do what you were expecting. You were expecting that it would also do, it would also behave in a certain way when there's an exception, when you have to get up earlier and so on. And it simply doesn't do it because it's too complex. The standard cases are usually easier to learn, because it's simply you just watch the user for a while, then we'll know what the patterns are.
And the difference is, when you tell your butler they want to do something, they go, yes, sir, rather than
I want me to search the internet for that?
Rather than, I don't think you want to do that, Dave. Which is what you get from, that's what you get from Siri, wouldn't it? I don't think you want to do that, Ewan. I've just had, this is the best thing about Black Friday. We haven't mentioned Black Friday because the podcast won't be out until after Black Friday's done and dusted anyway, but I've just had my fifth email from Wex Photographic to the same email address with Black Friday deals on it. It's ridiculous. Awesome. I had 270 emails between 8 a.m. and 9:40 a.m. this morning.
Wow.
About Black Friday.
Yeah. What's made me realize that I subscribe to far too many things, because like you, Ewan, today my inbox is going bing, 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 and going, when do I subscribe to that? So it does make you realize how many things you subscribe to.
I've got one email address that I only use for online purchases. I don't use any other emails for online.
I do the same thing.
Just to keep it all in one crap space. And that
I don't even want to open my Yahoo Mail today.
I haven't. I'm just going to open them all and gone. So,
what do you think? What do you think of Amazon's idea of a Black Friday then?
Oh, they did all right today, actually.
Do you think so?
Pretty good. They were shit on price, though, I have to say. Not very good at all on price. If you did a wider internet search, you got significantly better deals. They went from £24 for a TP-Link plug to £20 for a TP-Link plug. And Argos were doing the TP-Link plugs, the exact same ones, 3 for 2 at £20 each.
Fantastic.
So I got massively better deal. Massively. This podcast and all of these is brought to you by UK2. They're brilliant. I bought a couple of domains myself the last couple of weeks using the offer codes. The Kozel Studios, we've got kozelstudios.co.uk will be up, which will be the white room because that's being plastered tomorrow. I'm so excited. It's untrue. And I bought a few others as well that were really cool. If you'd like anything from then go to britishsetnetwork.com/sponsors. You'll get all the offer codes. And also you can go to britishsetnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account and check your control panel and that kind of thing. And we had a great comment in the Slack room from Patrick Quirk, who said the UK2 tech support was really, really cool this week to help him out. And I said, well, you know, come on, tweet it out. So he tweeted it out. And it's true, you know, if you've had good tech support, if you've had good customer service, if you've got a referral, then please shout about it and shout out the fact that you heard it through British Tech, because without these guys, we'd absolutely be screwed. Uniku is coming. The machines are being delivered to practices after Christmas. I, however, have wrong nose geometry. I get raw chicken in restaurants. So I've gone and had my face scanned at the Unica event, and the problem that they've got is they've analysed the scan of my face, and the problem I have is that my nose just here, it bends back in. So it's because it was broken so many times, it comes up and then it goes back in and along, and the scanner hasn't quite picked it up. So I need to go back because they're updating the software. I need to do it. So it's my nose is at fault.
They're putting the UN patch in.
Yeah, I said to Mark, what do you want me to say about the fact I've got to be rescanned? He said, well, just be honest, just tell them that your nose geometry is incorrect. So there you go. My nose geometry is incorrect. Typical. Friggin' typical. I'm so excited as well. It's not fair. I've been waiting a year now for it. Right, time for the cool thing. William, do you have a cool thing for us apart from that log burner behind you?
Yes, well, hold on. It's hardly cool. Right, now I've got two things, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
One is a website that's called bubble.is. Bubble.is. Now, I'm a terrible coder. It's not my talent at all. But if you've got a great idea and you want to build an app or a web app, then Bubble is a place to go. It's really, really good. Sort of drag and drop. It's completely sort of free to build and to experiment with. And if you've got a great idea and you're looking to build an app and to make some money, then that's a great thing to look at. So that's bubble.is. My second one, he said, God, it's slick, isn't it? Look at this. Right, here we go. Ridiculous, isn't it? So if you are a teacher, well, do you remember back in the day, even now, Reflektor is great. So if you've got an iPad or an iPhone or something like that, and you want to put your screen onto another computer, then you can sort of send it towards a projector. Then it's a really great app to sort of share your screen from your iOS device to an external display with a projector or a Big Mac or something. But they've now brought out a new version only this week called Reflektor Teacher that comes packed with lots of sort of features that are optimized for education. It's absolutely superb. At the moment, they've got a sale for $11.99. You can try it for free, and I would really recommend it. So there we go. Reflektor Teacher.
Good man.
It's a great, Reflektor is a great app. I've been also using it for, every now and then I want to show something from my iPad or my iPhone. And yeah, I could plug it in, but usually Reflektor is simply easier. So also not just for teaching, also for product demos or any development related task. It's really great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Superb. Thank you. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
I have actually something pretty cool. So I am I like messing around and dabbling with magic a little bit. And so I was watching some YouTube videos and I found out about a company here in San Diego that it's a pair of twins, Dan and Dave, and they make and design magic tricks. But what I want to recommend to people actually is something they also do is they do playing cards. So danandave.com is their website. You can kind of check out what they're doing. But more specifically, they have an online site called Art of Play. And I'm also kind of into toys and puzzles and tabletop gaming and that sort of thing. So I'm going to put a link to their playing card section of artofplay.com. And they make these beautiful playing cards. I just ordered a set. These are called the Sons of Liberty. And just look at the tuck box on this thing. This is all raised foil printing on here. And this particular set is themed to the revolution. So the Revolutionary War. So you've got let me see if I can find
they make a
someone
pack of cards for $150.
Yeah, wow. Some of the stuff's expensive. They make some art kind of puzzles and stuff like that. But, they have these great, look at these cards. They're just beautiful. Really intricate designs and things like that. The trading cards, there's a whole range. So they've got puzzles ranging from, $10 to $15 or trading card packs for, $4 or $5 all the way up to $20 and then really expensive art handcrafted puzzles and games and things like that. So there's a whole range of stuff over there. But really what I wanted to point out is if you're into playing cards or just, looking for that sort of thing, they have these beautiful kind of limited edition designs that are just really fun and great. And I had never heard of them before. And the fact that they're a local company here in San Diego made it all the better. And they actually have a cool office space with hidden rooms and all that kind of stuff. So I might try to go get a tour over there, but just a couple of local guys that are doing something really interesting. So I wanted to highlight them and point out their playing cards. So artofplay.com or danandave.com.
Excellent.
I don't know about it. They do ship internationally. I don't know if it's exorbitant in terms of the cost, but
the cards are exorbitant. They are beautiful. I don't deny it, but.
Yep. Well, again, and they're really, the quality of it. I worked in printing. That's actually my degree is in printing, and I know what it costs to do this kind of foil stamping and debossing and that sort of stuff. It is not cheap to make these things. No, so I understand where the cost is coming from. Yeah, you're going to pay $10 for $10-$12 for maybe even $20 for a deck of playing cards versus you probably go to a dollar store and get one for $1. So. But what you're paying for is the uniqueness and sort of the artistry that goes into actually making them. So.
Excellent. Good pick. Like that a lot. Now, Patrice, talk us through your pick, mate.
Yeah, I don't know who picked this recently here on the show.
It was me.
But it was you. It was really an awesome pick. I a little bit hate you for it because I've been playing it constantly ever since. It's really bad chess. It's the idea behind it. It's a non-conventional chess game. So the pieces are all the same, but you get a random, more or less random order or random set of pieces. So you could have, you only have one king, but you could have, five knights or whatever. And the idea behind it is you get the pieces are selected based on your skills. So if you're better, you get the weaker pieces, and if you're not so good or you're just starting out, then you get the stronger pieces. And the computer on the other side, the AI, will basically get an according set so that you can win and that it kind of matches with your skill set. So it's really, really cool. It's really easy to play. I mean, you can play a game in a couple of minutes and then just stop doing it. So it's not that it's a huge hog of time. I'm really enjoying it because I find the traditional chess games kind of boring. I've been doing it for years and years and years. So this is really more fun because it's a different challenge every time because you never get the same set of pieces. So you never know what you get and how you're going to win.
Excellent. Yeah, I love playing it. It's great. I don't play it enough. I've not played it the last couple of weeks, but it is a good game. It's a little bit, it's more than the morning motion. That's the problem.
This guy, this is the same developer, and I haven't checked this app out yet, but it was, they've said it's really, really good. He has done a version of Solitaire, I guess, called Flip Flop Solitaire that's supposed to be excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
So if people are looking for another game by the same developer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, it's free. I mean, there are some in-app purchases if you want to, but you don't have to.
It's well worth it. I really enjoyed it. It's really good. James, what have you got for us?
I've got a very very simple little AR game called Arcade Plane. It's absolutely free. And it's just, again, a nice little example of what AR can do. You know, all you've got is one button, which basically dips the little aircraft down, so it basically reduces the fuel of the airplane. It's a really nice game, and one you can kind of just sit there and just scan the floor, and off it goes. It's just nice. I've got a link in the thing. It's called Arcade Plane, with the idea that AR being the front word of it. Also, I'm looking at a new mic setup. I'm about to be recording some really good tutorials on motion and Final Cuts soon. So I've been scantily going around the web looking for a great mic setup with a mic rig. There's something called the Focusrite Scarlett Solo Studio. It's a second generation of the technology, and basically it's a breakout box that's USB interface, but has obviously a really good mic with it. What do they call it? The mic with the nice pins on the bottom? I forget the name.
XLR.
Yes, perfect. It's an XLR mic. So hopefully the next podcast I'm on, I'll be using it. And it seems like a really good price, £169. You get a good pair of headphones, a cracking mic, and a breakout box with about a stupidly long XLR mic lead.
It's worth that for the Focusrite USB interface, mate.
Yeah. I was up to about 1:30 this morning, just going through all YouTube videos of people who bought this and unboxed it, and they all have just great things to say about it, and I love that. So a lot of legwork's gone into me picking this pick. So hopefully by next week I'll have it up and running. I've also bought an arm for about £12 off Amazon to hold it on the desk so I can adjust it. So it's looking good. So hopefully I'll be able to feedback on that next week. But other than that, enjoy the AR plane game.
Is that AR airplanes or AR plane?
It's arcade plane.
Arcade plane.
Yeah, the link's in the...
Because I've had a play with AR planes, which is an AR remote control plane.
Oh, right.
So you just put it on the floor and it pops up, and then you just adjust the throttle and you can control it and you can fly it around like it's an actual airplane.
Right, that sounds perfect. You've only got one button in this.
There's an in-app purchase for a stunt plane as well, which was $4.99 or something, which is such a good app. I thought, yeah, the developer deserves that. Cool. Good pick, mate. Like those, I'll give that a try. My cool thing, I've done a bit of soldering of late, and I'm all right with the soldering iron. Actually, I have to say I'm okay. And I've you remember the Helping Hands thing that you used to get where you had two clamps, and then you had a magnifying glass. Well, I struggle with the magnifying glasses because of the vocals; it doesn't work very well at all. But I never had a Helping Hands thing. So I put in Helping Hands into Amazon, and I thought, I'll see what I can get. Because the other thing you get with the Helping Hands stuff is, like, if you want a board and you want it held either side, and then you want something to be clamped in place. It's like, well, I haven't got that third thing to clamp that in place. Right. Oh, yes, you have. Because you can get the flexible helping hand, soldering hand, third iron off Amazon, and it's got like eight arms.
Yeah, these arms. Things are brilliant.
And they just spin around and go over, and if you've got seven arms to hold stuff in place. So you can actually build the entire board up before you do the soldering, clamp it in place, and then just drop your solder in spots on the board, and it's done and dusted, and you just take it off and it's done. It, I mean, reduce the amount of time exponentially. It's superb. But there you go, six arms on it, and it's brilliant. It's not cheap.
I like the little rubber covers on the grips too. Yeah. It always bothered me about the alligator clips, is they'd cut into your boards and things like that.
Yeah, but it's really, really good. I do like it an awful lot. And I'd show it to you, but it's on the workbench. It's got something in it at the minute. But if you're into your soldering and you're making and that kind of stuff, and this is perfect. And the base is really heavy as well, so you do something to topple it over. But it's not cheap.
I forgot my bonus pick, which is, I put in the chat, it's Will Green Body Spray. Available at Amazon.
Good. Can I have some?
Is it Will Green After Fire Spray?
Just click the link.
Avoid spontaneous combustion using Will Green After Fire Spray.
Yep. You got it.
Where can we get a hold of you, William?
Well, my website is britishmac.com. British Mac 160, which you can download from iTunes for free, is available now. It's been out, a few days. But I also do a Patreon one. It costs you $6, or you can send me $6 for a one-off payment to britishmac@mac.com. And this month, I'm doing a video version, which should be pretty exciting, I think. The last time I did a video version was probably about 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. So I'm very excited about it. I've started working on it already. And so that should be out. It has to be out before the end of the month. So we're talking 3 or 4 days, something like that. Or you can follow me on Twitter, which is follow me at British Mac.
And it's your last week in witness protection, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. And then Jim's going to kill me, I think. Jim, are you going to kill me?
I don't know.
Put you behind the fireplace.
It's an absolute pleasure. What a brilliant house guest.
That's really kind of you. Thank you, Jim.
He is effortless. We've had him for a few weeks, and he's not hard at all.
No.
Not scary in the slightest, Will.
Yes, thanks. No,
you know what I'm saying, right?
Don't lock my door.
You know what I'm saying, Will.
Yeah, totally.
Adam, where are you, mate?
Hey, you can find me over at maccast.com, or just look for Maccast on iTunes, and almost every week over at the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Thank you for giving me
your leisure. Oh, and Maccast on Twitter and every place else.
Yeah, thanks for giving me your leisure day, mate, to come and shoot the breeze with us.
Oh, sorry, I almost missed it.
That's all right. Patrice, where are you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show, and everything I do on the new and improved thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Great to see you.
Redid my entire website, so should be better now.
James, where would you be?
I tweet at James McCann's, all one word. And obviously I've got my lovely render bots, which I'm doing bits and pieces with my drone and that. So I just had a new roof put on the little house in the garden. So I'm just in the throes of now finally get my MacBook. Making a little, just a nice little film for the company who did that for me. It's come out really, really well, so I'm looking forward to throwing that up on my RenderBots channel on YouTube. So,
excellent, mate. Do you own the place you're in then?
Yeah, no mortgage, thank God.
You're not renting it?
No. Like I said, there's a little house in the garden, which it came with the property. It's not listed as a separate property, but it is a little house. So but it needed a roof, and we waited nearly 8 months for this guy to actually come and put a roof on it. And it was four guys turned up over 4 days. They put two Velux roofs on it and just did such a sterling job. So I sent a drone over like every day, just recording the progress, and it's just come out brilliantly. And you couldn't be happier with what I've done so far. So
was he giving you a free roof effectively then?
Oh, mate, I wish.
You're a shit businessman.
I'm terrible. Yeah. I don't think he realised what I was doing. I think I was just buzzing past like an annoying aeroplane, you know, flying over, trying to take him off the top of the roof.
You know, I'm hoping to get me 500 quid back from Lily in the next couple of weeks. So I intend.
Good luck to you.
Why? What's happened? What have you heard?
No. I honestly, I'm saying good luck to you.
No, I've heard that the filing for insolvency is, there is money in there to pay back every investor, the amount that they put
That's
in.
That's good. So. Yeah. No, I wasn't being...
No, I thought you got inside information. It was like, oh, no. Ostrich. But I'm thinking of getting the DJI, definitely, Mavic.
Oh, I want
one
of
those. Well, you know what? I love it. I mean, yeah.
Me too.
I've been using the Mavic Mag for about 8 months, and it's so easy to use. The iPhone app is incredibly good, incredibly good. And people just can't believe it. I mean, these builders, they were all standing around my laptop when I showed them the first sort of rough cut, and they just couldn't believe how still it was, how, how it stabilizes. It's brilliant.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next Friday as normal with the show. And same bunch of suspects, I presume. Have a good weekend. And we'll see you
same
next
week. Same bunch of marvelous chaps, I think you meant to see.
Same suspects. Usual suspects. That's right.
Yeah.
But, Doc might be here. That, you know, if he deigns to get out of bed.
Yeah, I will not be here next week. I'm out this day.
Okay, we'll ask Brett then instead.
Sounds good.